Well, we are glad you're here this morning. Welcome. Dick and Janet, it is very nice to see you in person and not online. Spencer and Hannah, how was that? No, I won't ask how the honeymoon was, but make sure you say hi to the newlyweds. We're glad you guys are here. We're glad you're worshiping with us. And if I didn't mention you, I'm still glad you're here. I just happened to catch the fact that Dick and Janet are here, and we're excited that they're able to come out and join us. We are in a verse-by-verse study of the book of 1 Corinthians. We are in chapter 12 this week. We will be finishing up everything except the last verse. We'll handle that next week as we get into chapter 13. So I invite you to find that in your copy of God's Word, and I hope you do, because what I say up here doesn't matter. It's what God's Word has to say, and that's why we're here. That's what we're talking about. So as we started chapter 12 last week, we looked at four answers about spiritual gifts. We found the answer to what are they and what aren't they. And we looked right at the beginning and said, Paul says, you're not to be ignorant or unaware about spiritual gifts. So we answered some questions. Spiritual gifts are not the same as natural gifts or abilities or talents. We should use those for God and for His glory and for ministry, but they are not the same thing as spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are only for believers in Jesus Christ, disciples of Jesus, Christians, and they are designed to draw attention and to God and glorify God. That is one of their main purposes. We also answered the question, when do I get mine? We get ours, or you get yours, and I get mine, at the moment of salvation. Paul talks about the fact that when we become a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ, we become a new creature, a new creation, and that is part of that process. At that moment, God gives you those gifts. What did I get? Who decides what I got? Well, God decided. He decided a whole lot about you. How tall you would be, how short you would be, how much hair you have, how much hair you don't have, what color it is, your eye color, all sorts of things. When you would be born. Would you be born in 2020, 2021, or would you be born in 1901? God decided a lot of things about you. Each one of us is unique spiritually as we are physically. Even twins are different. They may look the same, but they're still different, identical twins. How do I know which one I got? Which ones? How can I find out? Well, first of all, you need to start where I began. You need to be a believer in Jesus Christ, because only disciples of Jesus Christ get these spiritual gifts. If you're there, step one, be growing. Be in God's Word. Be spending time with Him and in prayer on a regular basis. Be growing in your walk with Him. Second, be in community. Be in community. Spend time with other believers. Become more transparent. Become more authentic. Be growing. Serve, study, fellowship with them. And then listen to them. Get their input about where they see your gifts, both natural and spiritual. Don't dismiss what people see and observe in you. That's really easy to say, oh, I don't believe that. You can't be right. Don't dismiss their observations just out of hand. Fourth, if you have never taken one, take a spiritual gifts test, an inventory, an assessment. Again, I want to stress, this is not gospel. This is just a tool to help you evaluate yourself. And then when you do, discuss the results with other people. And see, does it match what they say? Do they see something else? And wrestle with that. The reason we're doing all this, the reason we put so much emphasis on it, is because you are accountable. God has given you something you are going to be given account for. Did you use it? How you used it? How well you used it? That leads into the next thing you need to do is exercise it. I know we love exercise. We love that word. Some of you do, some of you don't. So I'm in the middle somewhere. But exercise your gift. It's not like turning on a light switch. You don't just figure out, well, I have the gift of teaching and I flip the switch and I'm the world's best or the teacher in terms of spiritual gifts. You have to develop it just like you do in exercising your body and developing skills and abilities. What is the next step you need to take based on what you just heard this morning? We also answer the question, why has God even bothered to give me these gifts? It's because God is gracious. God is loving. Is because it is a proof that Jesus Christ is who He said He is and did what He said He did. He died, buried, and rose again, and the gifts are proof that He did that. God has also given you them because He wanted you to have them. So don't feel disappointed because you got one gift and you wanted another, or you don't like the gift you got. God chose that specifically, carefully, and gave it to you because he knew that is what the one you should have. Don't look at others and say, I wish I had what they had. I want their gift. That is so much cooler than my gift. God gave you the perfect gift that he knew you needed. Why am I giving them? I'm giving them to serve other people. Well, how do you use your gifts? Why do you use your gifts? Is it to serve and glorify you, or is it to serve and glorify God? So how did it go last week? Using exercises, maybe even starting the process of discovering your spiritual gifts. How did it go last week at living like who you are? So that catches you up through the first 11 verses of chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 12 in just a moment, but I hope you came prepared because there's a quiz this morning. If you fail, you fail. I'm sorry. I won't be grading them. But there is a quiz, and there are some really easy questions, and there are some that I didn't even know when I started writing this, and I came across them, so I added them in since I didn't know them. But there's a topic to the quiz or focus. It's all about parts of your body. Ready? Parts of your body. Where are your toes? All right, so I said some of them would be easy. You guys are chuckling. I didn't want to make it all hard. Where are your toes? Now, when is the last time you thought about your toes? Okay. Where are your cuticles? Okay, if you don't know what a cuticle is, there's also some on your toes, but I put a picture of a finger. Now, when is the last time you thought about your cuticle? Probably when you tore it or cut it, right? That's probably the last time you thought about it. All right, so this one's a little harder. Where is your iris? Okay, so that's the colored part. If you don't know, that's the colored part of your eye. Now, when is the last time you thought about your iris? Not your eye, but your iris. All right. Where is your pancreas? Now, I told you, see, they're not all easy, okay? So if you need a little help with that one, there's a diagram that's approximately where your pancreas should be. Now, maybe, I know some people have had them removed and they don't work right, but do you know what it does? First of all, it has to do with insulin production in some respects, but when's the last time you thought about your pancreas? Now, maybe if you're diabetic, you thought about it a little more, but the average, I can't think of the last time I thought about my pancreas. All right, where is your uvula? Okay, do you know? In your mouth? Yeah, it's that little thing that hangs down in the back of your throat. Now, I do not know what it is for. I honestly don't. But when is the last time you thought about your uvula? Before I mention that word, okay? Did you have a conversation around the supper table or driving in the car about your uvula? All right, where is your gallbladder? So it's, some of you, yeah, someone said it's gone. Yeah, some of them, my wife is in the nursery this morning serving, and hers has been removed, so she has no idea where it is. You know, mine's right where it should be as far as I know, unless I was born without one. But when's the last time you thought about it? If you haven't had a gallbladder attack or gallstones, you probably have never thought about your gallbladder unless someone talked about theirs. All right, so the last two are the ones I learned when I was trying to work through what questions to ask you this morning. And I have to make sure I pronounce this right. Where is your philtrum? Oh, Emily knows. Emily pointed to it. There you go. So some of you learned something, right? I have no idea what it does. But when's the last time, if you didn't even know you had one, you've never thought about it. But when's the last time you thought about that part of your body right there, your philtrum? And the last one is, where's your hyoid bone? So it's right up underneath your neck, and it has to do with speech. And it's actually not attached to anything, but it helps you talk. When's the last time you thought about your hyoid bone? And we could go on, right? We haven't talked about muscles. We haven't talked about joints or ligaments or bones. How many of them do you know or don't know? How many of those things do you think about on a regular basis? With body parts and in the quiz in mind, if you're not there, open God's word to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we read, starting in verse 12 through verse 30. Paul writes, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all members of that one body, being many, are one body also in Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? From our text this morning, we are going to look at six fundamentals about the body of Christ. Six fundamentals about the body of Christ. Before we do that, let's ask God to help us hear from him this morning as we look into his word. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege of meeting. We thank you for the freedom to come into this building without fear of persecution because of speaking your name and preaching your name and singing about you. Lord, we know that there are many who have met today or will meet that are in a much different situation. They fear persecution because of speaking your name and proclaiming the gospel. Lord, as we open your word this morning, may we hear from you. May I not be a distraction. May the technology not be a distraction. May it be tools in your hands to make a more effective teaching about the body of Christ this morning. May we hear from you individually and as a local body of Christ. Most of all, may we respond. May we see ourselves in light of Scripture and see where we need to change, where we need to grow, how we need to respond. I ask that you would allow me to say the things I need to say in the best way possible. If there's something that I need to say, may I add it. If there's something I shouldn't say, may I leave it out. Most of all, may people hear from you through me. We thank you for what you're going to do with and through your word this morning. We ask this all in your name. Amen. Six fundamentals about the body of Christ this morning. The first fundamental is the body of Christ is designed to be a unit. It is designed to be a unit. Look at verses 12 through 14. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, that one body being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, having all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. A unit, one body, just like our physical body has many parts, the spiritual body has many parts. They aren't just individuals, though. They're part of a body. It's the same with the church. So that means the members of a body, physical or spiritual, must be unified. Think about your hand, your foot, or your leg. Has it ever fallen asleep? And then you try to get up and walk, or you try to use that arm. How does it go? What happens? Well, it doesn't work right. You can't pick something up. You can't walk. You can't even stand sometimes. The body part doesn't function as normal. It's not on the same page as everybody else in the body. It's not unified. It's not really one body. It's one body in that part that's hanging off and not working right. What happens if or when we as a church, the local body of Christ, is not unified? We have some people going one way, some people going another. How well do we function? Not only is it to be unified, but it has one head. It has one head. We are described in this passage and other places in Scripture as the body of Christ. But the role of Christ is not explicitly mentioned here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's not described, but Paul did in Colossians. He said, and he, talking about Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, in that in all things he may have preeminence, or most important, first place. What happens when we as individuals want to make ourselves the head? What kind of choices do we make? What happens if we as a church have a different head than Jesus Christ? Or we have more than one head, we're trying to follow Jesus Christ and somebody else. How well do we function? How well do we fulfill our role as the body? What results? Conflict, disunity, power struggles, factions, because we're going in different directions. It's like that arm that's asleep. It's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. The body of Christ, in the body of Christ, differences should not matter. Look at verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, having all been made to drink into one Spirit. Think back to our introduction this morning, our quiz. Is your toe the same as your uvula? Is your cuticle the same as your gallbladder? Is your hyoid bone the same as an iris? No, each one is different. Each one has a different role. They're each a different part of the body. It should be the same in the body of Christ, the church. It doesn't matter what you look like, what you sound like. It doesn't matter who you are or what you were. You are part of the body. You have a role. Superficial differences are irrelevant because we are all part of the same body. Superficial differences are irrelevant. We are all part of the same body. God has chosen you, He has gifted you, and He has placed you in the body. Stop and think for a moment about when your body parts get injured physically. How does that impact the rest of your body? It doesn't even have to be a broken leg or a separated shoulder. It can be a sore back. It can be a sprain. It can be a stubbed toe, a sore joint. Now, this doesn't completely correlate to the body of Christ because we don't really get injured in that sense. But there are times when parts of the body don't work right. The body of Christ is designed to be a unit, and it does not function right when parts rebel. That's the most common way when parts don't work right in the body of Christ is they rebel. Look at verses 15 through 17. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if an ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? If in the body of Christ, parts really don't get injured, but they do rebel. They do decide, I'm not important because I'm not fill in the blank. I'm not a certain part. I'm not a hand, I'm a cuticle, so I'm not important. I am not an eye, but an eyelash, so I'm not important. I have no value, so I'm not really part of the body because I'm not the part I want to be. How silly would a body be if it was just one part? If it was just an ear, if it was just an eye, how would it function? How would they eat? How would they get anywhere? How would they accomplish anything? How would either one of these things even communicate? Improper function in the body of Christ is not really due to injury, but often selfishness, pouting, envy, pride, petulantness, because we don't get what we want. We don't have the gifts we want. We don't have the role we want. I want that role. I want those spiritual gifts. I want that position. I want the spotlight. I want the recognition that comes with it. The praise and adulation of people. I want to be more important. I want to be in charge. Often that's the reality. But what we often think is, I really don't want to do the work, I just want the benefit. Are you rebelling against the gifts God has given you? Or the role he's given you? Have you ever stopped to consider when you do that, or if you do that, what you're doing to the body of Christ? What you're doing to the People's Baptist Church? You hinder our ability to be healthy, to function effectively. You hurt how effective we can be in ministry. A body is a unit. It doesn't function right when parts rebel. And it is not uniform. Is not uniform. That is a bad typo. It is not uniform. It is unified, but not uniform. So you can write in, it is not. Anyway, my notes are off and the thing's right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? God didn't make us look all the same, talk all the same, have the same interests. Some of you have no interest in hunting, and some of you have great interest in hunting. Some of you have no interest in quilting, and some of you have great interest in quilting, or cooking, or bike riding, or fishing, whatever it is. We're not all the same. He didn't give us all the same gifts or the same role. A pancreas isn't the same as a gallbladder. They don't have the same role, but they're both part of the body. A foot isn't the same as a hand, an eye, or an earlobe, or a philtrum, but they're all part of the body. They all have a role. Do you expect everyone at People's Baptist Church to be like you, to be uniform? Not just unified, but uniform. The same interests, the same ideas, the same approach, the same perspective. Even though that's not God's plan, and therefore it's not good. When they aren't like you, how do you respond? How do I respond? Is it a source of conflict? Is it a source of frustration? Or do you see the difference and the lack of uniformity as a blessing because we're unified and we're all part of God's plan? We're all part of God's body. If everyone at People's Baptist Church was just like you, what would not get done? What would not get done? Or what would not get done as well? If everyone was like you, what wouldn't get done or what wouldn't get done as well? The body is a unit. It does not function right when parts rebel, and it is not uniform. The body of Christ needs every part. The body of Christ needs every part. Verse 20, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which it lacks, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. God composed the body both physically and spiritually and gave it everything he knew it needed, every part. There's nothing lacking, which means there should be no divisions, no, Paul says, no schisms, no rents, no tearing apart, especially due to spiritual gifts and abilities and roles in the bodies. We should not be disappointed. We should not be frustrated or angry because we think there's something our church needs that it does not have. God has designed and equipped People's Baptist Church with everything we need for ministry on August 16th, 2020. We can function correctly right now. If in the future there is something we need, God will supply it. He will add it to the body. The body needs every part, including or especially the lesser ones, and I'll put that in quote, the lesser ones. Look back at verse 20 through 23. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker or lesser are necessary. Paul just wrote about parts rebelling, saying, I don't want to fulfill my role. I want a different one. I want a different gift. They didn't like it. They didn't like the role they were given. It wasn't important enough. It wasn't valuable enough. Now he says, just like every part of our physical body is important, it's needed, it has value, it has a role, so does every part in our spiritual body. Think about your appearance, your body. Now, I don't know how much ladies seem to do this more than guys, but I think guys do it too. What part or parts of your body are you embarrassed by? Do you try to hide, cover up, minimize, that you draw attention not to but away from? You don't like it, so you don't want people to focus on it. You don't like the way it looks, so you don't want people to see it. That's Paul's illustration here in the text. You know the parts you don't like, you don't think are important, or you don't want people to notice? The ones you overlook, the ones you think are less honorable, weaker, the ones you want people to pay less attention to, though the ones you don't like. The unpresentable ones, Paul says, the ones you'd like to hide or not talk about, these are the parts. In the context of Paul, these are people in the body that are different than us. These people in the body, they may embarrass us sometimes, may make us uncomfortable, but we're not supposed to look down on them. We're not supposed to hide them. We're not supposed to try to draw attention away from them. We're supposed to give them greater honor than you think they deserve because they are valuable. God put them in the body for a purpose, for his plan. He knew we needed them. We don't try to hide or minimize. They are important. They are celebrated. We need to honor them. You need them, and they need you. There are no unimportant parts or people in People's Baptist Church. There are no unimportant parts or people in People's Baptist Church. Is there any type of gift or person that you look down on? You don't see as valuable. You think that they're a spiritual appendix, a uvula, or philtrum. They really don't serve any purpose. They're just kind of there. You shouldn't ever do that. I shouldn't ever do that. We should not ever look down on or feel superior to anyone at People's Baptist Church. There are no unimportant parts. We need everyone. And we need each one of your gifts, their gifts, to be complete, to be healthy, to be a properly functioning local body of Jesus Christ. How do you give honor to others? Greater honor than you think they deserve. Showing them that they are valuable, important. Celebrating them because you need them. When is the last time you expressed appreciation to someone serving in a way, an area, or a ministry that you aren't gifted for, or you do not ever want to serve in, but they are faithfully serving there? The body of Jesus Christ is a unit. It cannot function when parts rebel. It is not uniform, but it should be unified. It needs every part, especially the unimportant or lesser ones. And the body of Jesus Christ is affected by what happens to each part. Look at verse 26. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. How does your physical body react when a part is injured or not working correctly? How much does a sore back impact your body? How many of you had a back that locked up on you and you just could not move? You couldn't get up out of bed or you could barely walk. What about an injured toe? Maybe even your little toe. How much does that impact your ability to get around and do what you need to do? What about a stiff neck, a sore knee, a gallstone, a kidney stone? They impact the whole body. Each of these impacts the whole body. It cannot function properly because one member is suffering, is injured. In Romans chapter 12, Paul wrote about how we are to treat those who persecute us and said this, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. This is in reference to someone who is persecuting you for being a disciple of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to do this for them. Look at this, how much verse 26 sounds like what he wrote in Romans. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. We're supposed to do it for people who persecute us and parts of the body. How are we doing at being impacted, affected by what is going on in others' lives? Do you know? Do you think about it? Do you even care what's going on in someone else's lives? Now, let's turn that coin over. When you are suffering, when you are struggling, going through a difficult time, do you let others know? So they can come alongside, they can help, they can support, they can pray for you. Or do you keep it to yourself and try to just handle everything yourself, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and just handle it all? I got it, I can handle it. There's a danger in that. Then you come out the other side. God graciously brings you out and you become angry and bitter because no one reached out, no one came alongside, no one helped. But have you shared? Have you been honest about what you're struggling, about your need? We must not be oblivious when others in the body suffer. And we must share with others when we're suffering. What happens to you should affect me. And what happens to me should affect you. What happens to you should affect me, and what happens to me should affect you. We must not be oblivious when others in the body suffer. And we must not simply hold it in and struggle on our own. We need to share when we are suffering so others can do their part in the body. A body is a unit. It doesn't function when parts rebel. It is uniform. It is not uniform. It is unified. We need every part, and that includes you, especially the lesser or the less honorable ones. And we should be affected by what happens to others in the body. Number six, it is certified by God to be complete. The body of Christ is certified by God to be complete. Look at verses 27 through 30. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, administration, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? The implication to all these next questions is no. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. God didn't just give one gift to the church in Corinth or to the church in Newfield. He gave all the gifts that were needed, exactly the right number. If we need one, we have one. If we need two, we have two, not one or three. And if we need more in the future or less in the future, God will adjust. Our body is complete. There is nothing lacking on August 16th, 2020. We don't need anything. But, this means we don't have any extra parts. We don't have any spares. Every part needs to be working. Every part needs to be active, functioning, involved. That means every one of you and those that aren't here this morning are needed. You should be involved. The body needs every part involved, and that includes you. No one should be sitting on the bench. We need you. Get up off the bench. Get into the game. Don't just watch or hear about others who are serving. Serve with them. You are not an extra part. You are not a spare part. You are needed. You need to be involved. We need you just as much as you need us. We need you as much as you need us. The body needs every part, and that includes you. And talking about spiritual gifts and parts and roles, being part of the body, there's a danger, and I want to address that now. We can quickly begin to think that if it doesn't involve my gift or my part or my role in the body, I'm not needed. Or worse, not that I'm just not needed, I shouldn't be involved. For me, I'll use myself as an example this morning. I could easily say, if it doesn't involve preaching or teaching, I shouldn't be involved in it. That's my gift, that's my role, that's all I need to do, that's all I'm supposed to do in the body. Now, I won't name names, but someone in this picture who is sitting at the table, when we were cleaning up from breakfast last week, said to me, and they were joking, you shouldn't be doing this, you have more important things to do. What was I doing? I was picking up tables, I was picking up stuff, taking it to the kitchen. Now they were joking, and I understand that, but that's exactly what I'm talking about. It's very easy to begin to think that way about ourselves or about others. They're too important to do this. They're not gifted to do that, so they shouldn't. Yes, you and I, by God's grace, are gifted in certain areas, and we can praise God for that. We need to be using them, exercising them, developing them. But I don't just serve with my gift only. Think back to cleaning up Sunday morning if you were here last week, or if you've been to any one of the meals since I've been here. What happens here at People's Baptist Church? Everybody pitches in and everybody helps, whether they're gifted in serving or not. And it gets done in like 10 minutes. What if last Sunday, only those people that Paul said, he said in the end of verse 27, the gift of helps, they're the ones that did all the work. And the rest of us just stood around and watched because I'm not gifted that way. Or if you happen to have the gift of administration, you sat around and told them how the best way they should do what they're doing. What would have happened? How long would it have taken? How would those people serving have felt? We are repeatedly told in the New Testament by Jesus Christ and others to serve, not because we can earn anything, but because we have been given so much. Not because we are just gifted in that area, but because we love others and we want to show that. We want to show that what God has done for us isn't just something we talk about. It's something that changes how we live and how we act. We are to serve in ways and areas beyond our gifts. We are to serve in ways and areas beyond our gifts. So here's my question to you. Pull out your bulletin and look on the back. Where are you serving? Where are you planning to serve? Where does God want you to serve? Well, no one's asked me, Pastor Brian. Does anybody know you're interested? Does anyone know you're even willing to consider it? You're willing to serve in that area. Besides, in Titus, Paul repeatedly tells Titus that the church in Crete should be zealous for good works. Zealous, enthusiastic, excited, ready for, eager, passionate. So ready that you have to be held back until you figure out where you need to be serving, how you can be serving. Where does God want you to serve? Where are you planning on serving? So here's my challenge to you this morning. Take that list. Spend the next week seriously praying and asking God, where should I serve off of that list? Pick one of the ministries. Speak to whoever heads that ministry. And if you don't know, you can come see me and I will point you in the right direction. But I'm the last person to come to. Go to the ministry head first. And then commit to serving 4 consecutive weeks. Or if they don't meet weekly, 4 consecutive times. Show up. Have a servant's heart, a servant attitude, a positive attitude. And then when your 4 weeks is up, honestly evaluate with the ministry leader, with others, and with God, how he's used you, how he's changed you, and if God wants you to continue serving there. Where does God want you to serve? Where are you planning on serving? That's the challenge for you this morning. We are a body. We've talked about 6 fundamentals about the body of Christ. The body of Christ is designed to be a unit. Members are to be unified, working together. What happens if a person or a church is not unified? How well does it function? How well does a church or local body of Jesus Christ function if it has more than one head, the wrong one, or multiple ones? In the body of Christ, differences should be irrelevant, especially ones that don't matter. It doesn't matter what you look like, what you sound like, what you were, or what you are. We are all part of the body. God has placed all of us here. God has chosen you and gifted you and brought you to Newfield, New York, so you can serve and be part of this body. Superficial differences are irrelevant because we are all part of the same body. The body of Christ does not function well when parts rebel. Are you rebelling against the gifts God has chosen for you or the position he's placed you in? Have you considered what you do to the body of Christ when you do this? How you hinder its effectiveness, hinder our ability to be healthy and function properly? The body is not uniform. It should be unified, but not uniform. Do you expect other people to be like you? Same approach, same interests, same ideas, same perspective? Or do you recognize that the lack of uniformity along with unity is a blessing from God. It is God's plan for the body. If everyone at People's Baptist Church was just like you, what wouldn't get done? Or what would not get done as well? Every part is needed, especially the lesser ones or the ones we don't normally think about. There are no unimportant parts or people at People's Baptist Church. Is there any type of gift you have that opinion of that they're unimportant, that we don't need them? They're not valuable. You see them as a spiritual appendix or uvula or philtrum. What? The body of Christ is affected by what happens to each part. How are we doing at being impacted, affected by other people and what's going on in their lives? Do we know? Do we think about it? Do we care? On the other side of that coin, do you share when you're struggling so that people can care, can be affected? They can come alongside and help and encourage and serve you? Or do you keep it to yourself? If you keep it to yourself, have you become bitter, hurt, and angry because no one helped, but they didn't know that you needed help? What happens to you should affect me, and what happens to me should affect you. We must not be oblivious when others in the body suffer. We must share with others when we are suffering. God certifies that the body of Christ is complete. No one should be sitting on the bench. We need everybody. There's no extra parts. There's no spare parts. Get up off the bench and serve. Don't just watch others serve. Serve with them. They need you and you need them. The body needs every part involved, and that includes you. Be zealous, be enthusiastic, be passionate, excited, eager, ready to serve. So ready to serve that you have to be held back until there's a place to serve. Where does God want you to serve? Where does God want you to serve? Are you willing to accept the challenge to consider for the next 7 days prayerfully that list? Or guess what? God can lead you to another ministry. There are opportunities. Any ministry that we have may need you. And if God directs you there, that's great. Those are the list of the ones I need, that I know of right now. You can teach in kids' Sunday school, in junior church, in nursery. You can come up here and sing. You can work behind the scenes with the tech guys. You can do all sorts of things. But where are you serving? Will you take the challenge? Are you going to live like who you are in light of 1 Corinthians 12 this morning? Seek to be one body, working together, unified, not uniform. Function in your role and function as a servant. Where does God want you to serve? What role do you have in this body? Are you going to be a doer of God's word or only a hearer this morning? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gifts that you've given us. Thank you for the talents as well. Thank you for just the physical bodies that we can use to serve you outside of our gifting and talents, just to be a servant. Lord, as we've been challenged this morning, myself included, may we not fall back on the issue or the thought process that if it's not my gift or not my ability, then I shouldn't do it. Help us to take the challenge this morning and looking at that list, or even something else you bring to mind of where we can be serving, where we should be serving. Help us to recognize that we need every part to function well. Not just some, not just the ones that are like us, but every part. There is no spare parts at People's Baptist Church. Lord, may we respond to your word this morning. May we examine where we're at, where we're serving, the things we should be doing, but maybe aren't. Lord, if there's anyone here that, as we started this message, that says, I don't even have a spiritual gift because I'm not a believer, that's the first way they need to respond to your word this morning. May you be pleased with what's said and done, what's been thought about during this message, and most of all, our response, what we do with the truth of your word this morning. We thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. Oh, church, arise and hear the call of Christ our captain. It is not just simply to win the lost. That is part of our responsibility. But it is also to fill our role in the body and to serve anywhere and everywhere we can in being a complete and whole body. Where is your role? Where are you going to serve, even if it's not your role? Are you going to accept the challenge and plead with God, spend time with God, wrestling with where you should be serving in those ministries on the back of the bulletin or in someplace else? 6 o'clock tonight, Genesis chapter 20, bonfire at 7, and youth group tonight also at 7 o'clock. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you tonight.